If you want to turn in your Bibles or just follow on the screen, we're going to be in Matthew 20, beginning at verse 1 and go to verse 16. It's a story. I'm not going to preach Joel stories today. I'm going to preach Jesus stories. And it begins, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." Jesus actually said that 10 times with 10 different stories or illustrations just in Matthew alone. "For the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right, whatever was fair at the end of the day. At noon, and again at 3, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that evening, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around, and he asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one hired us.' The owner of the estate told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening, he told the foreman," and I'm going to tell you why during the sermon, why he did this at sunset. "That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. Then those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, and each received a full day's wage. When those hired earlier came to their pay, they assumed that they would receive more, but no, they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested, 'Those people worked only 1 hour, and you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat.' He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take it and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry because I am kind?' And Jesus adds the words, 'And so it was, that many who are first now will be last then, and those who are last now will be first.'" The kingdom of heaven is like, and I already told you Jesus likes to say that a good bit. Jesus taught with stories much of the time, with illustrations. That's why I can't understand the new scholarly technique of preaching is don't use stories. It's like, hello, why would you not use stories? Jesus did all the time. But Jesus used stories, and his stories weren't just for story's sake. His stories were to make a spiritual truth, a spiritual point. And we call those stories parables. I learned at annual conference, he actually taught 35 parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 35 of them, that's a lot. But this one starts, the first verse, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And in verse 16, it says, it's like where the last shall be first and the first will be last. The kingdom of heaven is like where the last shall be first and the first will be last. And in between those two thoughts, the kingdom of heaven, last shall be first, is the story of the workers in the vineyard. And I want to pick this apart today and see what truth Jesus has for us. And if we'll listen. The story goes, and I already read it to you, but I'm going to put it in context. I'm going to actually take it and lift it out and put it in the context of farming. The owner of an estate went out early one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning to be as exact as where he was when he went there. And he went to hire workers for the vineyard. Now, the late Bible scholar and one of my favorites, Robert Capon, he imagined, and this is where you've got to take a little liberty with the story a little bit just to put it in context. He imagined that this was a very good crop of grapes, that the weather conditions had been ideal, like our peaches, for growing good grapes, and that here they were coming into fall, and they were plump and juicy and ready to make good wine, okay? But, now this is just in our imagination, the shift in the direction of the wind and the lowering of the clouds told the orchardists that the weather was changing and that they would have to act quickly to get the crops in. And so anyone who is a farmer knows what it's like to have time against you. You ever grew up on a farm and your dad was a farmer, you know you have to work with the elements, and sometimes it's not on your side. Grapes were one of Israel's
best crops, most popular crops, most wealthy crops. And so this crop owner knew that he had to act swiftly and with decision if he was going to get these grapes in. So he goes down to the marketplace, to the hiring hall, where he, in fact, finds able-bodied people. Now, I'm going to use my imagination a little bit more, but it's not too much of a stretch, and it doesn't hurt the text to say that he wouldn't have been the only one in the hall looking for workers. Now, Jesus doesn't say that, but it stands to reason there were other farmers who were looking for hired hands, okay? And they, too, wanted to get their grapes in before the weather turned sour. And so our orchardist, our owner, offers the typical wage, which was $3.62 for an entire day, a denarius. It's worth $3.62. Wow, big deal, you see. I'm going to sweeten that pot in just a minute. But that was the same wage as a Roman soldier, so consequently it was good money. And he offered them this if they come to the vineyard. Now, to make the point more relevant and sweeten the pot, let's pretend something. Let's pretend, and again, this does not distort God's truth in any way. Let's just pretend that the owner of the vineyard, instead of offering a denarius for the entire day, he offers a denarius an hour in order to attract the best and the brightest to him. And let's pretend that instead of a denarius being worth $3.62, it's worth $7.25, our minimum wage. He's offering them $7.25 per hour for a 12-hour day. At $7.25 per hour for a 12-hour day, the 6 o'clock workers that he went out and got stand to make $87 by sunset. $87 for their work, and I'm going to round it up to 90 in cash, tax-free. Now that, friends, would attract some workers, which is exactly what he wanted to do. And let me just say again, to defend my generosity, one of the whole points of this parable is the lavish generosity and grace of God. And this just accentuates it. Okay? So he hires this crew at 6 o'clock and brings them. They were desperate for money because farm workers were. They were. And they were desperate for a feeling of worth. They wanted something to feed their families. And so they hired on, and he takes them. And at 9 o'clock, he's back in town. He stops by the hiring hall, and he does what? He five more people? Jesus doesn't say, but let's say he gets five more people. You know, that makes a good crew who are still standing around. They didn't get picked up by the other vineyard owners. And so he brings them, and he tells them he'll pay them a fair wage. He doesn't say he's going to pay them for the whole day, but he says, you come and you work for the rest of the day in my vineyard. I will be fair. And all is going well. Now, again, I'm just contextualizing to help you understand, why does this guy go in at 9, at 12, at 3, at 5? All is going well, but he's keeping his eye on the sky. And what he's noticing is that the clouds are getting thicker and the temperature is beginning to dip. And he's starting to think to himself, and you can see where this would be true if you were a farmer. He's starting to think to himself, I better increase my labor force, because my window of opportunity for bringing this harvest in is getting smaller. So he goes back into town at noontime, and he goes back into town again at 3, and both times he picks up more workers, so he's increased his crew. You understand? You all with me? He's increased his crew, and he promises them, the same as he did the 9 o'clock workers, I'll pay you a fair wage in the end. At 4:30, he's out in the field, and the temperature has plummeted. They went from scorching heat to dipping coolness, to plummeting temperatures and darkening clouds. And he knows, because he's no dummy, if I don't get this harvest in tonight, what I don't have in at the end of the day is lost. So he goes back in at 5 o'clock to get whatever he can scrounge up for the last hour to get it done. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of a worker is still hanging around the hiring hall at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Huh? What kind of a worker? Robert Capon, this late scholar I told you about, he says, you want to know who's hanging around? Close your eyes for a minute and imagine who is standing in Memorial Square of Chambersburg at 5. Can you see him? You got the kid with the pants down to his buttocks. You've got the girl with the purple hair. You've got the mother of three, all of them under the age of six and one on the way. She's expecting. And you've got the old man sitting on the bench. That's who's there at 5 o'clock. The too little, too late, the also-rans. You know, you get told enough that the rotten fruit is what gets left in the bin. The rotten fruit is what doesn't get sold. And you start thinking, that's exactly what I am. I'm a lost ball in the tall grass. You use any metaphor you want. But my point is, these guys have been there all day long. No one has hired me. The world and life have passed them by, and it's 5 o'clock, and they're still there. And the boss, the owner of the vineyard, thinks, why not? And he invites them to come join his orchard for the last hour, and they're thinking, why not? And they go. I want to pick the story up at verse 8 and just get it to the end. I told you I'd come back to this. When evening came, he told the foreman to pay the workers. Now, there's a reason for that, and I'm not going to take a lot of time on this. But the law of God in Deuteronomy 24, verse 14, says this, quote, do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy. It doesn't matter if he's an Israelite or he's an alien. Pay him his wages each day before the sun sets, because he's poor and he's counting on it. Which tells me the vineyard owner is a righteous man. It's the end of the day, it's sunset, and he's going to go out. And he puts money in each of their pay envelopes. And he tells the foreman, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call the 5 o'clock workers and pay them first. I don't know why. But I would like to think that this crew of workers starting at 6 o'clock got the grapes in. I would like to think the harvest was saved. I would like to think that the owner of the vineyard is ready for a party. And he says, call in the 5 o'clock workers, because he can't wait to see their faces. And they open their pay envelopes, and each one of them discovers, to their shock, 4 20s and a 10. You still with me? I like this. The girl with the purple hair beats it, because she's afraid there's been a mistake. And she's going to be long gone before anybody discovers it. But Mr. Saggy Pants catches up to her. And he says, do you know I got 90 bucks? Well, she says, I got 90 bucks too. And it's only human. They can't contain themselves. And so they go back and they blab. Well, let me tell you this, the 6 o'clock shift who have been working for 12 hours, they're tired, they're sore. They just want to go home, put their kids to bed. They are not happy campers. And what they basically say is, those pitiful few worked an hour, maybe an hour and a half, tops. You pay them same as you promised us. But then, this is great. Can you see it? Somebody gets out an abacus. I got to be a little first century, okay? Somebody gets out an abacus and says, oh, wait a minute. They got paid $90 for working an hour. And we worked 12 hours. So let me see, 12 times 90 is, zero comes down, you carry the one, 12. 1080! We're going to get paid $1,080. What a friend we have in Jesus. Robert Capon says, look, the owner of the vineyard is crazy, but he's not stupid. And the fact is, in every pay envelope, are you with me, is $90. He pays them all the same, exactly what the 6 o'clock workers agreed when they signed on. You know, they don't think much of that. These too little, too lates, they get the same pay as we do. We're the ones that broke our backs so you can have your old grape wine. What's in it for us? That, brothers and sisters, is the hue and cry of the church. What's in it for us? Haven't we served you? Haven't we slaved? Haven't we done right? Haven't we been good? Is that fair? You know, the disciples said that very thing four verses. I didn't tell you before this story. Four verses. The disciples reminded Jesus, hey, we gave up everything to follow you. What's in it for us? This is a great quote. It's a little hard to understand. I'm serious. I had to get my mind around it, but it's this. God arranges our compensation. In other words, God arranges what God gives us based on his wild and lavish goodness for which he's notorious. He does not pay us on the just deserts we've notoriously imagined we deserve. God pays us based on his wild and lavish heart, for which he's notorious, not on the just deserts we've notoriously imagined we deserve. And that's why this parable, the workers, is a parable of grace. And Jesus was famous for parables of grace and a parable of judgment at the same time. And he taught a lot of parables of judgment. It's a parable of grace because the owner of the vineyard treats all the workers with equity. Why? Because God loves all of his children with equity. Listen, it's a parable of judgment. Because it goes down very hard for those who cannot accept God's seemingly indiscriminate acceptance. It's a parable of judgment for those of us who cannot accept God's indiscriminate acceptance. The owner said, friend, I haven't been unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for this price? In your pay envelope, wasn't that what was in? Why do you look at me, here it is, should you, ophthalmos poneros, I love it. It means, why are you giving me the evil eye? Did you ever give God the evil eye? Ophthalmology, the evil eye. Why are you jealous? Because I am generous. Take what I've given you. Go in peace. If I choose to give the 5 o'clock workers the same as you, don't I have that prerogative? Isn't it my money? Well, I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to give you three little takeaways. So if you're taking notes, these would be the notes. They're short. And one little teeny tiny question. Takeaway one. God's grace is more abundant than anybody would expect. God's grace is more abundant than anybody would expect. Because the truth of the matter is, all of the workers got more than they deserved. All of them did. Because the truth of the matter is, none of us really should have the privilege of working God's vineyard. That is holy ground. But that's exactly where God calls us, out into the vineyard, church. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends out workers to bring that harvest home. None of us deserve to be there, but we're there because he's hired us on. His favor is far more abundant than anyone would expect. Number two, and this is where I struggle with the parable. A true disciple of Jesus should not measure his worth by comparing himself, herself to somebody else. I do that all the time. I compare myself. Case in point, I don't think, and I'm going to embarrass him, but it's the truth. I don't think I ever sit on this front pew, Ben, and don't think to myself, how does Cody play that well on guitar? I wish I could play like that. I compare. Okay? But a true disciple of Jesus should never compare his or her worth to another. Okay? Our focus should be on serving from a heart of personal gratitude for what God's given me and you. Number three, this was an annual conference text. It was preached on Thursday night. Only this did I copy, only this next part. I preached an entirely different sermon with different points than he did. But his name is Brian Messler, and he's a preacher at Effort of Church of the Brethren in Pennsylvania, of course. And he said, point three, if we are constantly looking at the blessing of others, we'll miss the blessing God has for us. If you're constantly looking at how Cody plays guitar, you are missing the instrument that God put in your lap. And you really are. Those 6 o'clock workers had the blessing of working all day in very precious, very fertile, very important fruit and successfully bringing it home to the glory of God and the kingdom of righteousness. And I want to tell you, that was a blessing. All right, here's my question and then we're done. Who are you in this story? 6 o'clock workers, 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, the foreman, the owner. And why were you chosen? Max Lucado, most of you know Max Lucado. He's written, 1,000 books? I wish I'd written. See, there's another comparison. Why were you chosen? Were you chosen for your intelligence? My goodness, do you think that you have a thought that God's never thought? Were you chosen for your intestinal fortitude? Do you think for 1 second the kingdom of God's going to go belly up? If not for your stick-to-itiveness? Oh, you were chosen for your money. You think God needs your cash? Max Lucado writes, and this is where I'm sending you out, we were chosen for the same reason as those 5 o'clock workers. We should have gone home at lunch, but Jesus is the guy who drives the pickup truck, sees us standing on the corner at 5 o'clock, rolls down the window, stops, of course, and says, "Why are you still here? Come on." Even though it's too little, too late. Why were you chosen? Do you know why? I'll tell you why. It's because he wants you. It's because you're his. Listen to me. Stay with me. It's because he paid the exact same price for you that he paid for the 6 o'clock boys. He did. He has a special place for you. It's the same place as the 6 o'clock boys and girls. No exceptions. No excuses. This, brothers and sisters, is called grace. And God has plenty of it to go around. Amen. Jesus, I thank you for that sermon. And now I thank you for the story. And for the sermon. And I would pray that I guess I would make the humble confession that though most of us here today feel that we're 6 o'clock workers and at the very least the 12 o'clock guys who are average, we're certainly not the last string in the bottoms. But you know, in many respects we are. And boy, don't we compare and don't we look and don't we point fingers and say, this person's getting paid what I got paid and they don't deserve that. And you know, Lord, what do we deserve really? Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for loving us and thank you for paying the price with your grace. I pray in your name.
Amen.